Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your black iced coffee in the morning drinking. I have an important meeting at noon today, and I'm trying not to think about it. I had a nightmare last night that I was stuck inside a Trader Joe's and I couldn't find my way out, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, currently the type of person who wears a turtleneck under everything. I slept with my cat tucked under my arm all night and it was delightful. And you might think that I'm weird for saying that, but I don't care. Friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives, topics we're curious about, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, it's your week. What are you talking about this week?
I am talking about something that sent me down a rabbit hole yesterday.
You sound like you're filled with shame.
I'm not so much shame as dread, but maybe it presents the same way in myself.
What's going on?
Today, my topic is 50 household items that can kill you.
This sounds like the kind of story a local news program will do during sweeps, where it's
you're right.
Your kids are huffing a new kind of household drug. Is yours already a brain zombie? Find out tonight at 5.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
I know. I'm actually fascinated by this because 50 is a lot.
Yeah. It started with... Okay, I'll tell you what it started with. My other podcast, Kathleen Can Do It. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, we recorded a topic about wallpaper. Mm-hmm. And when you're putting up wallpaper in your house, you need to prime your wall with paint before you put up wallpaper so you get the appropriate amount of stickiness or whatever.
Okay.
We were talking about peel and stick. And VOCs... in latex paint. Do you know what VOCs are?
Yeah, they're like the off-gassing vapors, right? That come off of paint.
Yeah. Turns out VOCs are everywhere in our house, not just in paint.
Oh, no.
And obviously, my other podcast is like a happy design podcast, and so I had to save the doom and gloom for an acquired taste.
Oh my God, that needs to be a shirt. I had to save the doom and gloom for an acquired taste.
And I started having heart palpitations because you're not supposed to put wallpaper on the wall after painting the primer for 30 days because it takes 30 days for all the VOCs to be released or else you could get potentially underneath your wallpaper like a gas bubble.
What? That's so many days.
I know. It's 30 days. It takes 30 days for latex paint to cure, no matter what you painted on anything.
That's an unacceptable amount of days.
I know. So I was doing some research and then this other list of all these things in your house that give off VOCs came up and I was like, oh God, I'm so scared for my life now.
We did a topic similar to this probably 2 years ago, which was all the ways the Victorians were slowly killing themselves. Yeah, and it was similar. And one of the reasons was wallpaper because back in the day, there was this color green that was super popular amongst the Victorian set. And it was called Sheil Green. And it got this beautiful green color from arsenic. And then people were like huffing their, walking near their wallpaper and there was like oil burning everywhere. And there's like these arsenic fumes are coming off and they're dying and going crazy.
And Bethany, we are no different than the Victorians. Truly, we aren't.
No, we're not. I mean, it's a different mode of self-murder.
Yeah, it is.
But we're always doing it. If we're not accidentally turning on our gas burner without realizing it, or we're all just monkeys running around trying not to die and accidentally killing ourselves.
Do you and Dennis have a gas burner or an electric burner? Trick question. I already knew that. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that.
Yes, it is an electric. It's my first time having an electric because every apartment I've ever rented has had a gas and scared me. And I'm glad that now I just have to like push a button instead of light flames.
There's some story that came out about Florida about how... like a very small percentage of the population of Florida has gas stoves. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's all electric. And I got in a real huff and I was like, I could never live in a house with electric stovetop. That is just abomination. Yes, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for. And it got me thinking that electric stovetops are probably safer.
Why do you need gas?
Because every time you see a famous chef cooking on some TV show or whatever, they're always like, but don't try this with electric heat. You're not going to get the same sear or something like that.
That explains it, because I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want my food to be made and to, you know, I'll eat it if it's burned. I don't care. I just need, apparently have to eat. So that's so funny. That's so funny. I have heard that where you need a certain... There's more subtleties to a gas burner, but like there's no subtlety to a gas burner when it blows your house up.
Yeah.
Right. That's like the least subtle thing that your gas burner could do. And I feel like it's way more likely for that. Here's the other thing that I simply cannot believe. Gentle listener, this is why Kathleen saved the doom and gloom for this podcast. Uh-huh. I don't understand. I lived... So in one of my apartments that had a gas burner, the pilot light went out.
Yeah.
And I called my landlord and he was like, all right, just crawl on your tummy and open the bottom and just flick a lighter.
Yeah.
And light it again. And I'm thinking that is the exact same thing we're told not to do any other time there's errant gas floating around.
I know.
Why is it okay to do it there? Why doesn't the gas explode there?
Bethany, my oven has been broken since November. Possibly October, and Neil and I have yet to get it fixed, but we won't try to do it ourselves for that reason. I am afraid of blowing everything up.
Okay, I'm going to look this up right now because why can I light a pilot light without blowing my house up?
So I looked up stats about percentages of households in the United States that have electric stoves versus gas stoves. 68% of households have electric stoves and 38% have gas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. No one is asking this question because everyone's just like, here's how to relight your pilot light. But no one is addressing the fact that this is the exact same situation when they tell you to leave your house and go to your neighbors and call the cops.
Years ago, somebody told me this god-awful story about... a friend of theirs who was renting an apartment, and the stove was really tricky. Like lighting the burner was really like you had just had to get it at the right spot or else gas would just leak out and the flame would never ignite. And she kept telling her landlord over and over, listen, someone's got to come and fix this. Someone's got to come and fix this. And one night she was like, I'm starving. I have to make dinner. And it exploded in her face and she was left with burns.
Oh, my God.
I know.
This is saying if a leak continues, the concentration could reach a point where a spark could cause an explosion.
Oh, God.
But it sounds like if the pilot light has only just recently gone out, like just now it went out.
Yeah.
Then you're okay. But it's when the gas builds up.
Oh, my God, Bethany. New fear unlocked.
Oh, Kathleen.
New fear unlocked.
Why do you think it took me forever to leave my house originally? Because I always had to go back and triple check that my gas burners were off. It's so scary. Why are we still using open gas in our homes? This is... Kathleen, it is something I will never understand.
Well, okay, Bethany, it's funny you say that, but you're the one who burns candles literally all the time.
I know, but now I don't because I just hear your voice in my head going, they're going to give you lung cancer.
Because
in my head, you sound like that.
Yeah, they're going to give you lung cancer. This is your friend Kathleen reminding you not to get cancer.
And I said it to Dennis. We were lighting a candle for ambiance, and I said to Dennis, Kathleen says this is going to give us lung cancer. And he was like, oh, she's right. And I'm like, no, what am I supposed to do when I want to do some sort of witchy spell and I need to summon my ancestors? And are my ancestors going to come down and be like, you should be using one of those cute little flameless candles to summon us from the nether regions?
Your ancestors continue with, there's a sale at Pottery Barn of flameless candles. They were invented for a reason.
Shut up, ancestors. Gentle listener, what if I told you to pay me a lot of money for a product, and then the product is just mostly water that you could get for free anyway, but I'm making you pay me for it? Does that make sense?
I would say, what kind of snake oil are you trying to sell me, Bethany?
That's laundry detergent. We are paying for awkward, heavy jugs filled with messy goo that gets all over your shelf, and it is up to 90% water. But washing machines already use water. So why are we just using more water that we pay for?
You know what, Bethany, you make an excellent point, and this is not something that I've ever really thought about before. And what's most upsetting to me is that 700 million detergent jugs wind up in our landfills every single year. But it's not like you can just stop doing laundry, because I tried that once and it didn't work out for me.
That's why Kathleen and I have both switched to Earth Breeze. They are these awesome laundry detergent eco sheets. They look like dryer sheets, but they're not.
Yeah.
They dissolve 100% in any wash cycle, whether you use hot or cold. And instead of taking up a giant space on your laundry shelf, they're a slim packet that, like, they'd fit between two books.
And not only is the packaging compact, it's biodegradable and it's plastic free. Plus, the eco sheets are vegan and cruelty free, which we always love.
And most importantly, you still get a powerful clean for your clothes. I had to do a giant load of disgusting towels, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna use one of these eco sheets. And I kind of like said to the eco sheet, you got this. And I like tore it into little pieces and I threw it in, and the towels came out smelling fresh, nice and clean. It did what it was supposed to do.
I actually have a load in right now that I had to press pause on so we could record this commercial.
So now is the time to try Earth Breeze, because right now you can subscribe and save 40%. Just go to earthbreeze.com/taste to get started.
Again, that's earthbreeze.com/taste for 40% off. earthbreeze.com/taste. Bethany.
Yeah.
I gather us here today to discuss 50 things in your house that can kill you.
Frankly, I'm excited.
I just sent you a link from the health department of a state that you've lived in, Minnesota.
Ah, Minnesota.
And it gives a very thorough rundown of VOCs and why you need to rid your home of volatile organic compounds.
Yeah.
It's in everything, Bethany. Your whole house is trying to kill you. There are VOCs in paint, varnishes, caulks, adhesives, in carpet, in vinyl flooring, in upholstery, and foam. Think about like someone's house getting brand new laminate wood flooring and it has that plasticky smell that doesn't go away for a while.
Yeah.
That is the scent of VOCs.
So what do we get from them? Dye? Do we die?
You die, Bethany. You get cancer, you get liver and kidney damage, you get central nervous system damage, and the symptoms are eye, nose, and throat irritation, headaches, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and the worsening symptoms of asthma.
I have asthma.
I know.
I love Josh.
You have asthma because you burn candles.
No, I don't. I have asthma because I was born. I was born this way. I've been like this since a baby.
I remain unconvinced.
All right. So how else is our house trying to kill us?
Folks, that was an example of your co-host moving you on.
Let's change the subject.
Okay. So my topic today, and of course I'll include it in the show notes, comes from familyhandyman.com.
Oh my gosh. It's where I get all my pop culture news.
Bethany, having clean clothes is something really, like, it's like a luxury, you know, clean clothes.
I mean, I feel like it's important. You're right. It is nice to be able to have clean clothes whenever you want. So yes, that is a bit of a luxury.
And having a dryer on top of having a washer is for sure a luxury.
Such a luxury. The feeling when you open that lint trap and it's just chock full of old pet hair and you're like, now you're clean, and you pull it out in one sheet. Oh, it's fun.
Funny you mention lint trap, Bethany, because the U.S. Fire Administration claims that failing to remove lint from the dryer causes nearly 3,000 dryer fires annually.
I fully believe it. Mm-hmm. I saw a headline and then I didn't read the article on there's like a hidden space in your dryer that you're not aware of and could kill you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Where is that hidden space? Because I know about the lint trap, yeah, but I don't know about a hidden space.
So in a lot of dryers, it's underneath the lint trap. So you take the lint trap out, and then there's another section that comes out of the dryer, like another plastic piece you can pull out. And essentially, it's like, where does the lint that falls off the lint trap go? And it's into this space in your dryer. And so you need to take a skinny vacuum hose and stick it down there and suck up all the linty things that went rogue.
So I've never done that.
What?
So I should probably... No, I didn't know it was a thing, and I didn't read the article. So... Okay, so that's what I'm going to be doing later today.
Oh, I make Neil do it at least once every 2 months because I have such an irrational fear of fire.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's maybe not so irrational now.
I know.
Not to like make it worse for you. No,
I'll tell you why. It started in seventh grade. My dad was running for like a local campaign office. I don't know. He's running for town council,
sure,
in like the lamest, smallest town in the whole world. And he had a team of people who were running his campaign.
Okay.
Which is essentially like having a team of people helping you run your campaign when you're running for like student council treasurer.
Yeah.
So people were over at the house and my dad ordered a bunch of pizzas and my friends and I were making like $5 an hour delivering flyers with my dad and his running mate's name on it and stuff like that. And his running mate folded up a pizza box and stuck it in the fireplace and the fire was on. You know, it was November. And the pizza box unfolded in the fireplace and part of the box came out of the fireplace and flame started shooting up and the bottom of our mantle caught on fire. And I ran out of the house and didn't grab my cats.
Oh.
And to this day, I think about that all the time. I've never forgiven myself.
And to be clear, the house didn't burn down and the cats were fine.
Oh, yeah, everything. It was fine. I think the fire department came, but like the wall around the fireplace was a little scorched, but that was it.
But like, you know, in movies where something starts on fire and someone in the crowd yells, "Save yourself!" That person is Kathleen.
You know what? You're not incorrect.
In my head, I'm picturing you pushing over all your friends to get to the, which I know is not the case. You should definitely help save yourself, but it's just funny.
It caused an irrational fear in me so much to the point now where I keep my cat's carriers in a very accessible place.
That's really smart.
They probably should be put away, but I keep them, you know, like within hand's reach by the door. So if anything happens, I can grab them and put them in their carriers.
That's very, very smart. It's also good for the cats because then they don't see their carriers as a bad thing. They just see them as part of the furniture.
Okay, Bethany, household plants.
Oh, no.
Get rid of them. They're going to kill you.
They may clear our air, but they also want to murder us.
According to Better Homes and Gardens, here are the names of 9 common household plants that you might not know are poisonous.
Oh, God. Okay.
Duncane? English ivy. Easter lily. Peace lily. If it has the name lily, don't bring that in your house. Toss it.
What? Okay.
Yep. Daffodils, Bethany.
What?
Do not bring them into your house because if you are ever tempted to eat them, it will cause severe illness.
Oh, no. Oh, no. But those are the flowers in Disney's Alice in Wonderland that sang to her because they had little mouths in the middle.
So Better Homes and Gardens writes about daffodils eating the bulbs, which can be mistaken for shallots or onions.
But they can
cause intense stomach problems, high blood pressure, irregular heartbeat, and even death.
So these are
philodendron, pothos.
What? Wait, pothos?
Pothos?
Yeah, we have a lot of pothos in our house, but we keep them high because they're bad for the cats.
Yeah, they look real cute because their leaves are shaped like hearts.
Yeah.
But the second that you get hungry and decide to make a salad out of your pothos.
So wait, can we be clear?
Yeah.
These plants are only bad if we accidentally eat them.
Okay, technically.
Okay, so it's not like they're off-gassing some sort of poisonous odor.
No, they're not.
So they're just, if I get hungry, which mm-hmm. happens, mm-hmm. and I turn my feasting eye upon the pothos,
yeah,
then I might be in trouble.
Don't make a salad from your English ivy.
Okay, what else is going to kill us vis-a-vis plants?
That's it. That's all Better Homes and Gardens has listed for us.
It is funny. Pothos is also called the devil's ivy, which sounds like another name for, like, marijuana, you know? Are you smoking the jazz cabbage? The devil's ivy?
I don't know why this popped into my head, but somebody who's adamantly against vegan foods, if you're sitting there eating, like, a oat milk ice cream cone or something, are you eating the devil's ice cream?
The devil's ivy. You eating that devil's ivy? It's going to go inside you, kill you from the inside out.
Was it you that posted the video? It was from a newscast in the 80s, and it was some southern state where they were breaking the news to passersby that it was going to soon be illegal to drink and drive.
That was not me, but oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And people, it just proves how people are against anything if their lives change.
In any way.
In any way, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of, like, middle-aged worker guys being like, if I can't have a beer in my car on the way home after a 50-hour work week, then what is this life worth living?
If I'm inconvenienced in any way, I'm against it.
And then there's a woman with this crazy perm. Oh my God.
Just trying to be pretty is so hard.
This woman has a baby in the front seat with her, like a child that's barely two, strapped in into the front seat. And I'm surprised that the car had seatbelts at all.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, it's one of those scenes where the reporter flags down a car driving by because they need one more comment from the public.
Completely.
And the reporter tells her whatever, and she's like, we might as well be living in a communist country. It's like, lady, drinking and driving is going to save a lot of lives.
But it's inconveniencing me and my newborn baby in my lap.
Oh, the preventing of drinking and driving is what I meant. Okay.
It's amazing.
Hey, Bethany.
Hey, Kathleen.
Can you see that my hair is wet today?
Wait, let me look in on Zoom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your hair is soaking wet.
That's because I showered today just a few minutes before connecting with you over Zoom. But even though I was in a rush, I did not skip my daily Vegamore routine because Vegamore has made my hair thicker after years and years of damage. I get highlights. I get my hair colored regularly. I straighten my hair. I curl my hair. I've really given my hair a tough time over the years.
Yeah.
But Vegamore is this amazing multi-step process. It's like shampoo, conditioner, and then serum that I put directly on my scalp. And their holistic approach to hair health uses smart botanicals. And my widow's peak famously is growing back, and I couldn't be more pleased.
If you are somebody who has maybe overplucked eyebrows from back in the day, which I certainly did, I've been using their brow serum, and it's just this little, it's like a little serum that you put on your eyebrows morning and night, and it is crazy. Every day I look in the mirror and I see another hair, and these little bald patches in my eyebrows are growing back in thanks to Vegamore. It's nuts. It actually works. And you know this is so important to us. All of their products are cruelty-free, and they never contain parabens or hormones.
I can't tell you how many of my friends who listen to our podcast have been like, hey, like, on the DL, can you really tell me whether or not you like Vegamore? And I'm like, yes, I like it. And then they buy it and they start sending me, like, progress pictures. And I'm like, I told you.
Yep. When we were first approached to maybe partner with Vegamore, I was super, super, super skeptical.
Yeah.
And I went on YouTube and I started looking at people's reviews on YouTube. And they loved it. And I was like, okay, let's give this a shot. And it's crazy. We both love it, too.
And with Vegamore, there is no risk in trying because they have a 90-day money-back guarantee. But 91% of customers say that they saw visibly thicker hair with Vegamore in just 3 months. So chances are you're going to love it, too.
So don't let damage of the past hold your hair back. See your hair's full potential with Vegamore.
Go to Vegamore.com/taste and then use the code TASTE to save 20% on your first order.
That's Vegamore.com/taste and use the code TASTE to save 20% at Vegamore.com/taste.
Along with being a major tripping hazard, extension cords cause 3,000 residential fires every single year.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Is it because me or someone like me has like one of them extenders with maybe six additional outlets attached to it, and then you attach another extender to the end of that one, and then you and then you put an extension cord onto that, and then you plug it into your questionable ring light, which has maybe been knocked over a few too many times and has some loose wires and is maybe just a ticking time bomb in and of itself. Is that maybe why this happens?
Bethany, that is precisely why this happens. And that is precisely why I am glad that I do not live with you.
There was one in my old apartment that had like two outlets in the entire apartment. There was one outlet that really was like, it was a ticking time bomb. The apartment was so old, the outlet only had two openings. It wasn't grounded. So it had two openings, and those openings were a little loose. And so I had to tape the outlet, I had to tape the plug to the wall to make it stay. And then that plugged into, what are those called? Like a strip. A power strip.
Power strip,
But it didn't reach the bathroom, which is where I needed the outlet because the bathroom didn't have any outlets in it.
Oh, my
God. And so then I had to attach another power strip. So the first power strip powered the stuff in the kitchen, and the second power strip attached to the first power strip powered the stuff in the bathroom. And then there was an extension cord that went from one of those into the living room because the living room only had one outlet.
Oh, my God. Oh, but you're lucky. You're alive.
$5,000 a month for rent in that building.
Welcome to New York City.
Dude, I should have been killed so many times in that apartment.
You should have moved much sooner than you did. Is really the truth of the matter.
Dennis would agree with you on that for sure.
Another reason to get rid of your extension cords is that if they're cracked or frayed in any way and you feel them with your hand and they're hot, toss them. Please throw them away.
Oh, they're not supposed to be hot, huh?
They're not supposed to be hot. I have a bunch of extension cords that I recently had to throw away because they were brown, and I have not seen a brown extension cord sold in a store for many years. And I was like, they're just too old.
This one's probably not. I have two brown ones.
Yes. Throw them away. Throw away your brown ones because they don't make brown extension cords anymore.
That's a 70s, 80s color for sure. Yeah.
I'm sure I stole them from my parents' house. I'm sure my mom has 15 other brown extension cords there.
There are certain key items that just show up in a house, and I don't know whoever buys them, but they're just always there. One of them, brown extension cord. One of them, a pair of scissors with orange handles. Yes. Those are in every single house. Who originally buys them? No one knows.
Bethany, you are so right.
But that you have to have one.
You are so right.
Where'd it come from?
There's this pair of scissors at my mom's house that she and I share custody of. They've got, Bethany, the scissors are like, I want to say they're at least a foot long.
Oh, wow.
They're huge. And they've got the big orange handles.
Yes.
It's sort of funny looking at them. They're really useful, but they're so large that they look like they're made for like Andre the Giant or something.
Yeah.
We always are fighting. Do you have the big scissors? Nope. You were the last one to have them. No, I didn't have them. You were the last one to have the big scissors.
We have a pair. We have three pairs of scissors in the kitchen alone. We have the pair that goes with the knife block. Mm. We have a purple pair. Mm-hmm. And then we have the orange handle. Mm. And no matter what needs to be cut, whether it is paper or pizza, I go for the orange handle every time. If I can't find the orange but the purple are there, I'm looking for the orange.
That is one of the things that people don't talk about enough. When you're in the privacy of your own home, you do not care how filthy your scissors are.
No.
You will use them to cut an old shoelace off a shoe, and then you'll use them to snip your carrots or something.
Absolutely. I will just rinse them off a little bit and wipe them with a towel. And look at that, brand new, brand new orange scissors.
Just last night, Neil was like, Kathleen, I was cleaning up in the bedroom. He's like, Kathleen, why are the kitchen shears in the bedroom? And I was like, I was using them to cut wallpaper, dude. Chill. And he's like, that's not what they're meant for. I'm like, scissors do not have a purpose. No. Scissors are for cutting. You can use them for anything.
If it can be cut, it can be scissors. Again, another t-shirt.
My mother-in-law has those plastic cutting boards, like the really thin ones.
Yes.
And they have pictures of, like, one has a picture of meat on it. Yep. Another one has a picture of produce. I do not abide by the rules of those pictures.
No, go crazy. Go rogue.
If I have a clean cutting board at all, I'm lucky, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just flip the cutting board over.
Kathleen, let me tell you, living in a vegan and vegetarian house, we have a cutting mat that has meat, one that has fish, and one that has something else. And it's like, we don't have any of those things. You
know, we don't need any of those things in this house.
We're going to put crafts on this one, glitter on this one.
I'm crying. Because I've never said this out loud.
Bring it.
But like, if I'm cutting cheese for dinner one night and the cutting board doesn't get put in the dishwasher and the next morning I need to cut some fruit, I just flip it over.
Flip it. Honey, flip it. You're fine. It's been sitting in a vertical position all night. Whatever germs were in there drip off. This is why if you've lived alone for a long time, take it from me. You have to do some self-reflection before you move in with someone. You have to be aware of the gross things you do in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You have to be aware of the noises you make without realizing it, because I betcha you're breathing louder than you think you are because no one's ever called you on it.
Well, I wake up every day now and I'm like, was I snoring last night? I'm so sorry.
Dennis sometimes is like, you know, you woke yourself up by snoring, and I just go, I'm a monster. I'm a monster.
I think was I snoring last night is my new do I look fat in this.
It's the follow-up to your debut autobiography.
Oh, okay. Other things in your house that will kill you.
Sure.
Electric blankets.
Do those still exist?
Yeah, of course they do.
Because that was big in the 80s.
I have two electric heating pads. I use them from time to time, but I get really paranoid about them.
I love a heating pad.
Yeah.
I love a heating pad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a small electric blanket is basically
you're right.
What it is.
I guess I didn't realize that they were still being sold. I remember growing up, we had one.
Yeah.
Which I think was like from the 70s. Like, I think it was probably too old when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing people in the 80s playing real fast and loose and using an electric blanket on their waterbeds.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's a real will they won't they when it comes to death.
Oh, I never even thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I Googled electric blankets, and sure enough, Bethany, L.L. Bean, Pottery Barn, Target, Overstock, they're all selling electric blankets.
Do they work via app? I bet they do, those asses.
I bet they do. You know what? I'm not going to look into this right now, but I hope and pray that electric blankets sold in modern times come with some sort of, like, after half an hour, they automatically shut off.
There are many electric blankets.
Like Netflix asks you if you're still watching.
Yeah, totally. Yes.
The electric blanket needs to be like, hello, are you still awake?
You still feeling chilly? I just got a pop-up that said Wi-Fi controlled electric blanket.
There you go. Listen, I know that you don't like the robots, but in this case, if you ever find yourself on the market for an electric blanket, I urge you to get a smart one.
You know how I was railing? I'm such a Luddite. How I was railing when you were talking about the Consumer Electronics Show?
Yeah.
How people keep trying to put screens into refrigerators, but people just don't want it. I feel like people keep trying to put Wi-Fi into things like an electric blanket. Do you want your blanket connected to your internet? That feels weird.
Here's a reason to have a smart blanket that can shut off when it realizes that you're sleeping. There have been instances where people have fallen asleep with electric blankets on them and they die from a heat stroke.
Oh, now I look like an asshole.
No, how are you to know that that could happen? But it happens, and they basically cook themselves.
Oh,
they raise their
God.
Body temperature to a temperature that's so high. I mean, who knows why they don't wake up? Maybe they're on medication.
Sure.
Maybe they were drinking. I mean, you don't know. Maybe they're just really tired. They had a 50-hour work week.
Sure.
I know. Yeah.
Okay, no, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. You know what? I stand corrected on heated blankets.
another thing in your house that's going to kill you, your flat screen TV.
Why? Why this one?
Because people don't mount it to the wall correctly, or they put it on a piece of furniture and they don't mount it at all. And because flat screens are so tippable, it'll fall on you.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It'll kill you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't use 3M strips to hang your TV. You need someone professional. That's one thing where you need a professional to come in and bolt it from the inside to the outside of your house.
We had a Best Buy come in and do it, and it was the best decision we ever made.
Yeah, a dude from PC Richard and Son came and he used a bolt the size of his forearm and just drove that thing into the wall.
And you're like, you can't buy that at Home Depot.
No,
you can't.
No, you need some type of license.
Okay, here's another thing in your house that's going to kill you. Mm. And this I'm actually kind of surprised about. Your range hood.
My range hood.
The thing above your oven or your stovetop that sucks all of the pollutants out. Apparently, they don't do a very good job.
It's like hiring the range hood equivalent of the CEO's 17-year-old son who has no business being there but is suddenly on the creative team.
I mean, it doesn't matter how much they cost. They could be $5,000, which some freaking range hoods are. Can you believe that?
Do you even need one? I just have a microwave that blows air around the bottom.
I, too, have the microwave above the oven, and it literally just sucks up the air and spits it back out at a higher elevation, and then my smoke alarm goes off.
Yeah, it just...
It does nothing.
It's like it tosses it a little bit. It's like tossing a salad.
I don't even put it on anymore because I just let the smoke naturally rise to the smoke detector instead of accelerating its journey there.
I turn it on because I don't want Dennis to realize how quickly the smoke has accumulated. I want it to have time to disperse a little bit, so maybe it will be less smoky in the kitchen before he walks in.
So familyhandyman.com interviewed this guy who is apparently an expert on range hoods, and he says that they are really not super effective. The ones that we have in America, they're generally inefficient at capturing the pollutants and transporting them outside.
What kind of pollutants are showing up when we cook? This also worries me.
Well, if you're cooking with pots, here's another thing, pots and pans that have nonstick on them.
Yeah.
If they're really old, that crap will break off into your food. Then you ingest it and it'll kill you. But I'm sure that it gives off chemicals when you heat it up as well.
Oh, gosh, Kathleen.
I know.
This is tough stuff. Crazy. This is a lot to take.
Bethany, toothpaste will kill you.
Why?
I'm not suggesting that you stop brushing your teeth. I just want to present you with the facts.
Okay. And we can do what we want. You're just asking the questions, Kathleen.
Yeah. It says, seek immediate help if you ingest toothpaste because consuming too much of it can cause intestinal blockage.
Okay, so some of these...
Yeah.
Are for the real dum-dums. Not to call some people dumb, but if you are someone who maybe is gonna decide to eat a tube of toothpaste, either you shouldn't be living alone or you're a baby. And I can understand that babies will just go ahead and do whatever they want because they don't know any better. They're a baby. They haven't been to college,
right.
but if you're someone who, I don't know, is like, hey, I have a fun prank to pull on my friends. I'm going to pretend I'm feeding them some funny new kind of whipped topping, but really I'm going to be forcing them to eat toothpaste and then they get sick and die. I can see why the warning's on for that, but maybe don't do that.
Oh my God. This is a really good plot line that we need to sell to Law and Order.
Uh-huh.
Bethany, some kid sees some TikTok challenge where he makes his friend Oreos with toothpaste in the middle and then his friend dies of fluoride poisoning.
Is that what causes it?
Yeah.
Oh no.
I know.
Huh.
I know.
Huh.
The dangers in this world are freaking endless, Bethany.
But it feels like a lot of those dangers only present themselves when you decide to eat an entire something like pothos plant or toothpaste.
Okay. Christmas trees, real Christmas trees, forget it. 210 Christmas tree fires occur every single year.
You got to keep those things watered. You don't want them to dry up.
I still have my Christmas tree up.
That's okay. I know someone else who does too. It's all right.
Is it you?
No, it's It's someone on our Discord. Bless them.
I still have it up.
It's, you know what? If I didn't live with someone who was like really into getting stuff done, I would still have mine up for sure. It's only February.
I know. And I really, I've been considering like making cute little hearts out of construction paper and hanging them on the tree.
Totally.
And I presented this idea to Neil and he got very upset.
Maybe he's been hurt before by Valentine's trees.
I can't get through this entire list, but I present to you the last and final thing that I need you to remove from your house.
Okay.
Your stairs.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We only just got stairs for the first time.
I know. Bethany, your stairs are going to kill you. I'm warning you now. Find a way to not have to use them anymore.
What's going on?
12,000 people in America die every year from falling down the stairs.
Yeah, it makes sense.
If you have to go downstairs, go downstairs barefoot.
Okay, yeah. Oh, for sure. Socks are a death trap.
I wear socks occasionally. Like right now I'm wearing the socks that your mom made me because it's cold in my apartment.
Yeah.
These knitted socks are my favorite, but most of the time I go barefoot. I have family members who think I'm a monster for it because they're like, put some slippers on your feet.
Yeah.
They call my feet stocking feet. Like, don't walk around in your stocking feet.
Yeah, but you know what? I've worn slippers while walking up the stairs, and every single time they make me trip up the stairs. I fall up the stairs. And if I'm wearing socks, I slip down the stairs. The only thing you could do is barefoot or shoes with crampons like you're climbing a mountain.
No, you're right. And that's why I invested a while ago in my indoor sneakers, which were light and airy enough for my feet to breathe, but grippy enough to not die walking downstairs.
Do you want to know a stair-based death story?
Yeah, of course, okay. Always.
I know someone. It's not me.
Okay.
And it's not Dennis.
Oh, okay. I'm glad.
Who their grandmother was a real piece of work. Like mean, one of those mean grandmothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had a grandfather who was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And grandma called the police because she had discovered her husband at the bottom of the staircase, like he'd fallen down in his wheelchair. But one thing that the EMTs noticed, which was a little strange, was that it was the basement stairs he fell down. But the basement door was closed behind him. So, like, his wheelchair had come to the top of the stairs. He'd fallen down, wheeled down the stairs, but still been able to close the door.
Oh.
So the EMTs said to the family, it's possible grandma pushed him down the stairs. Because it also seemed like he'd been there for a while before grandma called, even though she'd been home the whole time.
Oh, my God.
And my friend was like, should we report this? And the EMTs were like, it sort of happens a lot. Like, do you really want your 90-year-old grandmother to go through the court system? Like,
yeah.
So we just sort of don't really notice it and we move on.
That's unreal.
We definitely think that her grandma murdered her grandfather because she was sick of him.
Oh.
So maybe the big mistake, besides killing this poor sweet man, was closing the door after him.
Maybe she was wearing slippers.
Oh, God. Is that too dark for the podcast?
It's not too dark. It's a story. You presented us the facts of the story.
Presented the facts.
We are now walking away with the knowledge of the things in our house that will eventually kill us.
Just be a, you know what? We're just giving you the information. Kathleen, do you get a mid-morning slump?
I mean, who doesn't? We all do, right?
Yeah, I get mine about 11 o'clock. And I got, like, into the habit over COVID of just sort of going to bed around that time again, just taking a quick little cat nap. But that's not really a thing we can do anymore. But I don't want to be chugging coffee because I get jittery and I don't feel really good. I get, like, that stomach rot feeling.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, like, coffee does that thing to you where your stomach goes, and then you look around and and you're like, where's the closest bathroom?
Totally. That is why I am so excited that we have discovered Magic Mind. It's this little shot that improves your mornings. It gives you a boost. You can drink it anywhere, anytime you need a quick energy boost, but it's not crazy amounts of caffeine. Instead, it's ingredients like matcha.
Ooh, I love matcha, Bethany. Matcha is green tea for the gods.
Yep. It also has ashwagandha, which helps reduce stress and anxiety.
Oh, I've seen that word on Pinterest.
And it has lion's mane mushrooms, which reduce anxiety and inflammation while also supporting cognition.
You know, I'm over here joking about the buzzwords, but these are real ingredients that are good for you. And I've been listening to Bethany and Dennis talk about how they feel so much more energized. And they're like, hey, Magic Mind is my best friend. And I'm like, but wait a second. I thought I was your best friend.
Both of you are our best friends.
Just imagine a world where you're working at your desk. You start to feel like your energy is depleting, like you need your battery plugged in. You walk to the fridge, you grab your Magic Mind shot, and then all of a sudden, you have more energy than Speedy McSpeedster, and you come up with a winning idea that saves your company from falling into bankruptcy.
I hate Speedy McSpeedster. I hate that guy. So go to magicmind.co/taste and join a community of go-getters. You can also use our discount code TASTE20 to get up to 56% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase. But the 56% off code only lasts 10 days, so hurry up.
Again, that's magicmind.co/taste and then use the code TASTE20 to get up to 56% off of your subscription, but only for the next 10 days.
So, Kathleen, you know that I've been on this journey to try and learn to like black coffee. So I want to tell you the latest. This is the latest thing I'm trying.
Oh, I'm here for it.
Because I love so much creamer in my coffee that it turns the color of my pale skin. But I've learned that that is not conducive to being as healthy as I'd like to be because it's a lot in the morning. It's a lot of just chemicals in the morning.
If you were drinking like 2% milk in your coffee, that would be different because there's fats that your body can use in that
for sure.
And protein that your body can use. But creamer is its own special sect of deliciousness and chemicals.
Kathleen, that's what it is. I use a powdered creamer that tastes like chocolate but contains no actual chocolate.
Bethany? What is this, Little House on the Prairie?
Ma went into town and bring it back in a mason jar.
I mean, like, the powdered milk products are what people use in baking and then people who don't have refrigeration use.
So, and also, it's so good in your coffee. And here's the other thing is that I don't use a little bit because a serving size is half a teaspoon.
Okay. I know.
I put in probably a third of a cup every time I drink a cup of coffee. So you can see how this sort of adds up to a lot of unnecessary gunk I'm putting into my body.
Yeah.
So here's what I've decided.
Okay.
I like black coffee if it's iced.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make coffee at night. And then I'm going to let it get to room temperature. I'm going to put it in the fridge. And then in the morning, I'll have iced coffee that I can then drink black and enjoy it.
Bethany, that is a really good solution.
Thank you.
Wow, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Today was the second day I did it. And I'll be damned if I did not want to get out of bed. Because now you're getting out of your warm bed to the promise of a freezing cold drink. And it's not... It's just, it's tough. So, gentle listeners, if you have gotten yourself off of the creamer, the C, and you figured out how to enjoy black coffee, will you please let me know? This is an ongoing struggle, and I really am desperately trying to be into it. I've also tried adding as much creamer as I want to the first cup.
Oh, my gosh.
And then every time I refill that cup... Not adding more creamer, right? So I'll refill it once it's like a third of the way down and add a little bit more coffee and then keep drinking. And so the creamer eventually gets less. But also, what a bummer, because it just tastes worse every time.
I was at somebody's house once. I was visiting them or whatever. And all they had for breakfast was fiber cereal. And I was like, this is what I eat at home. I'm traveling. Give me something delicious.
Give me something fruity.
And they had just plain unsweetened almond milk. And so when they weren't looking, I went into the refrigerator because I had spotted creamer in the refrigerator. And I mixed some creamer into my fiber cereal.
Kathleen, it's you. You have to do what you have to do to be good to yourself. Have you ever tried coffee creamer, like the liquid kind, at Christmas time with a little vodka?
Oh, my God. No, I can't say that I have, but I can see how that's sort of like the bastardized American version of coquito or something
completely.
Like that.
Or yeah, like a little rum. Yeah. Your, you know, Bailey's Irish cream coffee creamer. Yeah.
Maybe the solution for you is to find some sort of fancy coffee provider. You know how like fancy coffee companies will give you like a couple of keywords about the notes of flavor in their beans or whatever.
Yeah,
like freaking stupid wine people always talk about.
It's got a tawny afterbirth.
I'm one of those wine people. It's like, I'm like, I'm tasting apricot and stone fruits.
It's like, I'm drunk in the corner is me.
Maybe you just need to find some sort of fancy coffee company where they have got some special bean that they've sourced and it tastes better when it's black.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Uh-huh.
I think you're right. And I thank everyone for holding the space for me as I go on this adventure. And thank you for allowing me to speak to my current feelings and what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And if you have figured it out, gentle listener, please let me know. Because my God, waking up was tough when I knew that I had to look forward to jumping into an ice cold bath of bitter iced coffee.
It's going to be a struggle for you in the upcoming weeks because we are approaching Girl Scout cookie flavored creamer.
Oh my time. God, you're right. I'm so excited.
And so you'll be missing out on all the coffee creamer that tastes like Thin Mints and Samoas.
Yeah, that's another one you can put vodka or rum in. So good. So good.
You're not incorrect about that.
Oh, man. You can put alcohol in almost anything.
You truly can. I mean, you could put it in a water bottle and pretend that it's water.
Right? Right, get it.
Wink, wink.
Oh, Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you should just move out of your house, integrate yourself into nature. Everything's going to kill you. And then things in nature will kill you too. So we're all effed in the end.
No, we're all completely effed in the end. What are you supposed to do?
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned, again, that if you are going to use fake nails, it's just be ready to go on that journey where your nails are never going to be okay again. But just be okay with it. You know, if you're okay with the fact that your nails are just going to be effed, that's fine.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's fine.
I wonder what kind of VOCs nail glue gives off.
Oh my gosh. I bet it's awful.
And then the plastic from the actual nails.
Yeah. We're all dying. We're dying constantly.
And you can't even get gel anymore because the UV light in the gel machines that harden up the nail polish is going to give you skin cancer on your hands.
And people sitting here listening to this with strong nails, you just don't even know.
You don't even know.
This is just a struggle. My older sister who's listening right now, damn you, Nicole, she was born with nails as strong as nail.
Oh.
And she just doesn't care.
She's so lucky.
She like cuts them. Or doesn't cut them and doesn't care.
And they don't break.
They don't break. I'm here with these paper thin nails. Like I look at them wrong and they just weep and break apart. She's out there, you know, climbing mountains with her nails never breaking. And she doesn't care. You don't care, Nicole.
Maybe there's a link between nail beds and mental health. You
probably.
I'm sorry, Bethany. You walked right into that.
I did. My nails are breaking, as is my brain and my heart.
Bethany, where can people follow you on social media?
I'm Ms. Bethany on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. What about you, Kathleen?
I'm Kathleen Loves Color on everything. You can follow this podcast, Acquired Taste Podcast. Just look us up. We're on Facebook. We're on Reddit. We're on Discord. We've got a new Facebook group. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in there. Just look us up. We're
Heck
out there.
Yeah. Go to patreon.com/acquiredtaste. There are a bunch of different levels. Find one that's right for you. You get really fun extras. We also have an email, which is hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
We have a snail mail address, and that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
We have a phone number. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode. That number is 917-994-0353. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
On my way to work this morning, and I'm listening to the Passive Aggressive podcast that just dropped, and I got reminded of a snarky comment that I came up with, and I was so proud of myself. I have an aunt who remarried this man who, I guess, was like a preacher kind of thing, but he didn't have a church. Like, he would just teach every now and then somewhere. I'm from Arkansas. I say that to say that I had gotten my tongue pierced when I was 19, and we were having a really big family gathering. We were at a restaurant. I was late because I was in college, and I drove myself there. And the only seat open was next to this man, who no one liked. Please, like, my aunt and cousins, don't talk to my aunt that the man's married to, because he's such a horrible person. And he started giving me crap about my tongue ring. And I was just kind of sitting there. And normally, like, I just kind of, like, take things like that. Like, I don't do a whole lot. But this man was giving me such crap. And he was, like, throwing Bible verses at me and different things. And I happened to look down at his arm. And his arms were covered with tattoos from his time when he was with the Merchant Marine. And I looked at him, looked him in the eye, and I said, at least mine's not permanent. And that shut him up. And to this day, I am 44, so 24 years later, this man doesn't give me crap about anything anymore because I put him in his place. I just had to bring that up after Kathleen's Karen comment, because sometimes you have to get snarky with someone to be able to stand your ground. I hope everyone has a great day, and I hope you didn't wake up super early so you could do your 50-minute commute to work. All right, talk to you later.